So, Michael, first of all, in your two minutes, is there you start with your ready?
Councillor Gentry, you also can ask us questions, in which case we can talk more. I'm sure you know about the increasing shenanigans emerging around the procurement of public funding of this project, and today's call by the RIBA and by Lindsay Vall at the GLA to stop this project for a thorough investigation. How apt that for such a dirty project we finally come to the issue of toilets. You will recall that officers recommended the original application for approval without any toilets, but thanks to you, members, the applicants have had to think again. Unfortunately, they haven't thought enough. This will be London's busiest visitor attraction. 8 cubicles, including 1 disabled toilet, is just not enough. Your officers say there is no minimum figure of toilet provision. They are wrong. There is clear policy in the London plan that development should incorporate social infrastructure such as public toilets, and you have to apply your judgment as to whether what is proposed is adequate, whether this is reasonable. Relying on toilets 600 metres away is hopeless. Who is going to leave the bridge or queue to the bridge to walk back to Waterloo Station to have a pee? The area is a public toilet desert. We already have serious problems of people peeing in bushes and gardens. The British standard minimum provision for visitor attractions would require 34 cubicles plus urinals for something attracting up to 2,500 visitors an hour. That's what this is attracting, and it's the same as a full house at the Festival Hall every hour. The Festival Hall has over 50 toilets plus endless urinals. The London Dungeon has 23 toilets for just 400 visitors an hour. Insufficient toilets is effectively discrimination against older people, disabled people, those with children. Providing the right amount would reduce the flexible commercial space. Too bad. It might finally justify such an unnecessarily large South Landing building whose use is disassociated from the Golden Bridge and won't cross-subsidise its costs, which frankly, you were gulled into approving. I have submitted some details, issues on the design of the South Landing building, and where are the drawings to show the relationship of the South Landing building to the ITP building? There should be detailed plans as well as section drawings and elevations showing how that building relates to the windows and other features of the ITP building, both in terms of harmony of design and in terms of impact. This is a major omission. ITP are not happy, quite rightly. They are an important employer in this borough. We want to keep them here. Take them seriously. Thank you.
I live on the grounds. My family and 55 other families live right opposite the IBM ITV corridor in the Iroko Coin Street housing co-op. It is already a noisy and polluted area with racing tipper trucks, lorries, buses, taxis, crowded pavements and litter in a narrow road, which is upper ground. It's very narrow. This corridor is wholly unsuitable for bridge servicing and deliveries and will become even more dangerous and noisy with Golden Bridge trucks turning, braking and reversing. The amount of waste is seriously underestimated by the Golden Bridge Trust. The majority of the bridge rubbish will be generated on the south side as visitors and tourists will inevitably U-turn back onto the south bank. Continuous rubbish removal and deliveries are untenable in this corridor. There has been no consultation whatsoever with the Coin Street Co-ops concerning these conditions. There absolutely should have been. These residents are directly and detrimentally affected. Have all the councillors been on site to evaluate this location? I'd really like to know that. The design of the so-called two benches are just blocks, most definitely not benches, and they do not have, as they do not have backs. They are designed so that visitors are uncomfortable and do not stay long. They are fundamentally unsafe and unwelcoming for disabled, elderly and young children. They need backrests and a mixture of benches with and without armrests for comfort and accessibility. There should be space for wheelchair users to pull up alongside their companions. This design needs changing. There is no textured paving indicated on for the visually impaired. This absolutely needs to be implemented throughout the development. There is official guidance for good quality design by Selwyn Goldsmith, designed for the disabled. The building design is too oppressive and ugly for the tree-lined open space of Queen's Wharf. It has 26 heavy metal roller shutters with a tall, imposing watchtower-like shift. It is absolutely not in keeping with the concept of the dreamy glade Nirvana Bridge described by Ms. Lumley. It is in stark contrast and looks like a bus station and refuse centre. It is very depressing and needs redesigning.
It was interesting to hear the Oxo Tower mentioned so many times in the presentation, yet you didn't feel it's necessary to consult any of the residents that live in our building. And I just want you to know that part of our social responsibility, we offer vacancies in our buildings to Lambeth residents. We've never received one single planning notification from Lambeth with regards to the Garden Bridge. Limited information from the Garden Bridge Trust and nothing about the South Landing building. The Garden Bridge Trust claims that existing deliveries and collections are limited to a small number of commercial and business units within the Oxo Tower. This is not true. There is a very busy restaurant operated by Harvey Nichols, Eat, Cafe Nero, two floors of retail space, plus 78 residential flats. It also services many on-site event spaces operated by Coin Street. There is limited storage and space in the yard has to be booked in advance. The area around this service yard is already heavily congested with new developments, the South Bank Tower, Sea Containers House, One Blackfriars, plus many other new developments in the area, making this totally unsuitable. The Garden Bridges Trust claim that Bernie Spain Gardens are significantly set back from the closest residential properties, and there would be little impact on noise and disturbance, and that the residential properties within the Oxo Tower are relatively close to the existing service bay, and that deliveries will be made between 7 a.m. and 11 p.m. Incorrect. Bernie Spain Gardens are next to both Oxo Tower and Palm Housing Co-op, who have to regularly complain about the noise from the Oxo Tower service area. Oxo Tower residents also suffer from excessive noise from the service area, and they are right next to it. What if the ITV-IBM corridor doesn't get permission from the landowners or doesn't work? Then it's likely that all servicing and waste will be done from the Oxo Tower servicing yard. This is the only other current option. This would be completely unacceptable. The Garden Bridge Trust have picked an inaccessible site for one of London's biggest tourist attractions, and they need to solve this problem themselves. I think the Garden Bridge Trust have given misleading information to get these conditions passed. So I ask on behalf of all the residents of Oxo Tower that you reject the current delivery and waste management plan.
If we can try and just keep it to the 2 minutes, just so we can get through everyone. If the supporters now could start, is it Emma Barnett speaking first?
Sure. Before they start, could the lady and the gentleman say, because some of us don't know their firm, what they do, so we contextualise what they say.
Use their 2 minutes after that. So we have Emma Barnett, who's from Adam Henry Consulting. Then we have Philip Hallpatch, who's from Hedwick Studios, and then Adam Down from the Garden Bridge Trust. Can you speak in that order, just so that that's clear for everyone? Is that okay? Yeah. Lovely, thank you.
My name is Emma Barnett. I'm a director at Adams Hendry, a family started town planners, and we act for the Garden Bridge Trust. A number of representatives of the Trust are here tonight. There are two conditions submitted for your approval tonight related to the South Landing building. The Trust has listened and responded to the overwhelming request from members to include some toilet provision in the layout of the South Landing building. 8 toilets are being provided, including unisex wheelchair accessible toilet and 7 unisex cubicles. Baby changing facilities will also be provided in 2 of the cubicles. The total provision of toilets is significantly more than the need from additional visitors on Queen's Walk generated by the Garden Bridge, so will provide a genuine public benefit to this part of the South Bank. The remaining conditions relate to the operation of the bridge. All have been developed in consultation with local residents, officers and members of the operations reference group. The maximum demand scenario has been tested based on an A3 use of the flexible space. The delivery and servicing plan confirms all deliveries and collections will take place off the highway and there will be no reversing onto upper ground. The servicing and delivery windows have been defined to avoid impact on residential amenity and to avoid peak visitor demand. The original planning application proposed that all waste should be stored in the South Landing. We have listened to members and residents and have amended our proposals for dealing with waste. The waste management plan now confirms that general waste will be transferred equally between the refuse stores on the North and South Landings, and all green waste will be removed by the North Landing. The flexible space will have its own refuse store. The coach and taxi management plan has been prepared based on the premise that visitors will be strongly encouraged to travel to the Garden Bridge via public transport. Where a group requires direct access by a coach, it will take place from Temple Place on the North Bank. There will be no additional impact on amenity on the safety and operation of the highway resulting from scheduled coach movements within the South Bank area. The submitted details meet the requirements of the conditions and the Garden Bridge Trust supports the officer's recommendations for their approval.
My name is Philip Hallpatch and I'm the project leader for the Garden Bridge at Hedwick Studios. The South Landing building forms an extension and continuation of the character of the South Bank's mid-century innovations in concrete construction and horizontally expressed terraces and walkways. The building's structure is made from exposed aggregate concrete with rounded white stones, which give a warm white appearance. This material is easy to maintain. The natural stone will not absorb dirt and will therefore not discolor over time. An anti-graffiti coating will provide protection. Visually, the textured concrete is intended to contrast against the smooth metal cladding of the lift and the bridge soffit. The actual frontage onto Queen's Walk is predominantly glazed, allowing for a visual connection to the interior. A podium deck provides a space for visitors to congregate before getting on and off the bridge. This deck is paved with grey black concrete pavers from the Kellan range, providing a colour contrast to the bridge materials. These pavers have excellent grip underfoot and are easy to maintain. They've been used extensively in the public realm and can be found, for example, at the Greenwich Peninsula. The lift shaft design is intended to give people an experience of moving from the urban realm of the city to the calm of the garden. The cladding is inspired by palm leaves and influenced by the tradition of natural forms of Victorian metalwork, evident in the light posts and railings on both the south and north banks. The tapering cladding panels reveal textured glass cladding behind, chosen to allow visibility and thus security for those using the lifts, whilst providing resilience to the appearance of that. We believe we have designed a building of world-class quality in the central London location and therefore support the officer's recommendation for approval. Thank you.
That was
shuffled.
Bad dreams.
Yeah.
Bad dreams.
My name is Adam Dowell and I'm the operations lead for the Garden Bridge Trust. There are three operational conditions submitted for your approval tonight. These are condition 24, the delivery and servicing plan, condition 25, the waste management plan, and condition 29, the coach and taxi management plan. These documents have been developed and refined over the last year using knowledge of existing local operators from both sides of the river, combined with industry-specific specialisms. The Trust created a new forum called the Operations Reference Group, a condition of planning itself, to harness local operator knowledge with representatives from both London boroughs, South Bank Employers Group, IBM, London Eye, London Underground, North Bank Bid as examples of some of those representatives. All the plans are being developed to demonstrate the capability of the Garden Bridge Trust to operate the bridge safely and efficiently. We've also used assumptions based on the maximum demand scenarios to provide confidence the Garden Bridge can continue to operate as planned. The delivery and servicing plan proposes three servicing windows to avoid the peak visitor periods, unsocial hours for local residents and not conflict with the existing demands such as office rush hours and queues for ITV audiences. GBT will also manage all movements off of the public highway using embankment to guide access and ensure pedestrian safety. Following consultation, a change from the original planning permission to enable more even management of waste. As a result, all green waste we've managed resulting from the gardens will be stored and managed by the north landing, and general waste will be split 50-50 between the north and south. Based on the approved transport assessment, coach demand is anticipated to be very low, at approximately 200 coaches per year, and will be facilitated via the north landing, where there is a direct road access from Temple Place. Our plan is to reduce this demand further by advising potential visitors of our excellent links to public transport. The Garden Bridge Trust fully supports the Office's recommendations to approve conditions 24, 25 and 29 pursuant to the parents' permission. Thank you.
If we can move now to the ward councillors. Are you going to speak in the order that you're sitting? Okay, and do you want to introduce yourselves? Okay, I'll ask you mostly. I have two quite simple tasks to get through them both. First is in response to the local authority consultation exercise plan. We as councillors are extremely concerned to ensure that the due process has been applied to every single respect over the Garden Bridge and discharge in plans conditions by Lauder. This is in light of the monumental concerns over procurement and associated processes by the Mayor and the TfL. There are huge open questions in this respect, and Lab of Planning has consequential duty to demonstrate transparency, visibility and a lack of undue and inappropriate influence by the Garden Bridge Trust. In respect of specifics of planning process to date, we have been deeply concerned on an ongoing basis about the poor quality of submission to the planning committee, the overt lack of consultation and the disrespect to the local community by the Garden Bridge Trust in their overall approach to reach out. In respect of my concerns about today's submission, one is about consultation. If we're going to use feedback from consultation, we need to ensure that everybody is consulted. This is not what's been happening. In terms of Iroco, I'm a member of Iroco. Nobody in Iroco has received a letter that was sent from planning over the Christmas period. in light of Redwood's representation here today, sending an email to a chair of a co-op, a local co-op, who is a volunteer, is not an adequate way to consult. And also in terms of our own website, I feel that it's not been fit for purpose in this whole process. So the conclusion is the conditions for discharge presented to the planning committee today should be rejected. Given all the objections from myself, my colleagues and the whole community, I would be very concerned if these conditions were accepted today. I would also ask you to know that all three local councillors are here objecting to this discharge of conditions. Please do not ignore our concerns. Thank you.
Councillor Ben Kine from Bishop's Ward. I wanted to talk about the balance between toilet space and the commercial space, the flexible space. Particularly to raise the issue again, as was discussed at the technical briefing between yourself, Chair, Councillor Morris and myself, and officers and the applicants about the fact that they repeatedly stated that the design of the South London building, the internals, had been done in consultation with Coyne Street to meet Coyne Street's needs. And we raised that and asked for some expansion on the balance between the two spaces, whether there was enough sufficient toilet space and whether that had been sacrificed for the commercial gain of Coyne Street. I think regardless of the other conditions or issues around the bridge, the committee explicitly asked for sufficient toilet provision to be put in place. And Michael Ball has demonstrated that there isn't sufficient capacity there for either visitors or the events that are going to take place in comparison with the British Toilet Association standards, as he sent in his evidence. But he's also made it clear that it is in the gift of the committee to decide whether there is sufficient toilet space, as there is no guidance or minimum amount that is needed. So it is your decision, and you can make the choice about whether there is specific provision in certain quantities. Given the space that's currently on site is public, and is public open space, the balance between the commercial space and public benefit toilet provision should be balanced in favour of the public and not the commercial enterprise on space. It shouldn't be that a grubby deal between Coyne Street and the applicant should come out in favour and that we should end up with insufficient toilets for either the visitors or the events that are taking place. So I would say that you don't need to reject the whole application for the entire bridge on this basis, but you should reject the application for the condition about the internal layout and ask that more toilet provision is made in the building.
Councillor Kevin Craig, another of the three ward councillors. Look, this is very difficult for the committee, but I want to focus on the specific planning reasons. It isn't material to talk about the developing scandal that is enveloping Heatherwick Studio and the team, and the fact that your boss was gadding around North America with Boris Johnson with these plans in play long before the procurement process had even started. That's for another day. But specifically, it is in the gift of planning committee members to decide that on the basis of what they've heard this evening, that the waste management proposals are insufficient. It was alluded to by Michael Ball in his submission, and it is alluded to in the applications, that the Jubilee Gardens, I'm also on, sit on that body, a site which will be less visited with less vegetation. There are times in the summer where six large Eurobins several times a day are filled, requiring several daily truck visits. The data that we hear from officers who are operating under a strategic desire by senior Lambeth officers to push this application through at any cost, that bears no relation to the reality of life in the ward that we represent and that you've heard people speaking from tonight. You can also justify in planning terms turning down the relevant applications here this evening on the grounds that the proposals for servicing will bring harm to Burnley Spain Gardens and will bring harm to an area where that you've heard people speaking from tonight. We believe that they will bring harm. We believe that the proposals for coach numbers are totally unrealistic. Wards such as Prince's and Bishop's have these issues already, and the idea that more coaches will go on the north of the river, where the rather wonderful new cycle routes have come in, is totally unrealistic. So in planning terms, more than any stage so far in these proceedings, there are strong reasons to send these back, because the reality is what's been put forward is not good enough. Yeah.